regional states. Mohammad Turi, Karachi.
With the Persian New Year, or Nowruz, being just around the corner in Iran, people are getting prepared to welcome the arrival of spring. This comes as the sixth wave of coronavirus in Iran appears to have been subsiding now. The official daily number of fatalities, which had stood at 241 on February 27th, fell to below 120 over the past couple of days. The Persian New Year, or Nowruz, arrives on March 21st. The Nowruz holidays are traditionally a time when Iranians travel and visit each other. But health officials are worried that the exchange of visits and travels during the Persian New Year will lead to a new wave of COVID-19 if health protocols are not fully observed.
In view of this special feature of the Omicron variant, we highly request people to keep wearing masks and observe social distancing. Although many of them have been vaccinated, wearing a mask is still an important measure, especially when they are visiting relatives and friends during Nowruz.
I think everyone should receive the third dose of vaccine. And if you want to be safe, we should postpone our visiting and travels to some other time. If we don't take Omicron seriously, the next wave will sweep across the country again.
I have recovered from coronavirus almost 20 days now, but too much coughing hurts me a lot, and symptoms are still with me and my daughter. It's a bad disease, and people should not forget to observe the health protocols.
According to official statistics, over 56 million Iranians have received the second jabs of vaccines, while over 24 million others have been vaccinated with the third shot.
Under the travel rules released for Iran's third Nowruz with COVID-19, only those who have received at least two doses of vaccines are allowed to travel by their private cars across the country during the Persian New Year holidays. Otherwise, they will be fined. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
People in the blockaded Gaza Strip attended a big ceremony to mark the 54th anniversary of the Palestinian Wounded Persons Day. The annual event pays tribute to the tens of thousands of Palestinians who got injured during Israeli wars and aggressions. Thousands of injured Palestinians suffered from permanent disabilities during Israeli wars. Israeli forces have also injured some 30,000 peaceful Palestinian protesters who were taking part in the Great March of Return rallies. Hamas movement, which organized the event, accused the Israeli regime of committing crimes against the Palestinian people.
The amount, the volume, the size of the injury indicated that we are facing a criminal side, which is occupation. I think it is very important indication about the type and the impact of the Israeli actions, Israeli crimes against the Palestinian.
During the Israeli war in May of 2021, over 2,200 Palestinians were injured, including 685 children and 480 women, some of whom may suffer a long-term disability requiring rehabilitation.
We have to stress the role of the wounded in Palestine and their great role. They are Palestinian, wounded are in the first line with the occupation. So they sacrifice with their bodies in order to, free Palestine.
Palestinians say that Tel Aviv's crimes will continue to go unpunished as long as it enjoys protection from Western countries. The Islamic Jihad movement accused the United States of encouraging Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people.
I think that who give the Israeli the green lights, Americans, the United States of America, and the silence of people, which silenced all over the massacre which carried by the Israelis against our people, and also maybe the Arab position, so that the Israelis go on to hit, to destroy, to kill, to injure everything against our people.
The Israeli blockade in place since 2007 has made it even worse for wounded Gazans who require rehabilitation and artificial limbs.
Israeli forces have killed and injured thousands of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip since 2008, amid what observers describe as an international conspiracy of silence. Ashraf Shana, Gaza.
in the limelight.
The mass massacre in a single day of 81 blindfolded, mostly Shia Muslims by Riyadh, have exposed as dastardly hypocrites the political figures and even governments of many regional countries who chose to ignore this sanguine crime against humanity. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kayhan, international staff writer. This article is published under the heading Recent Events That Fully Exposed the Hypocrites. Stay tuned for more. The mass massacre in a single day of 81 blindfolded mostly Shia Muslims by Riyadh have exposed as dastardly hypocrites the political figures and even governments of many regional countries who chose to ignore this sanguine crime against humanity. Now, no amount of pretensions to patriotism or supposed sovereignty of their native lands will ever wash this stain from the faces of these diabolical figures for not just failure to denounce the Al Saud clan, but also to question the timely action of the Islamic Republic of Iran in salvaging the security and dignity of Iraq and its Muslim people by demolishing of Israeli regime spying centers in Erbil, Iraqi Kurdistan. It is rather strange of these so-called Muslims to be complicit in crimes against fellow Muslims because the cult ruling Arabia is awash with the stolen oil wealth of the deprived people of the eastern region, and the illegal Zionist entity, which is in usurpation of Palestine, happens to be the blue-eyed boy of the great Satan. Does this mean the politicians and regimes of Muslim countries are justified in turning a blind eye to the Najdi's slaughtering of Shia Muslims as an internal affair, along with the claim to be unaware of Zionist infiltration in Iraq and other lands as an external issue? Yet these very same people of feeble faith feel no inhibitions in raising a hue and cry over Iran's defense of the rights and Islamic aspirations of the Iraqi nation by blasting with precision missiles the Mossad center in Erbil, which was operating because of the camaraderie of some traitorous elements in the local administration and weaklings in the central government incapable of ensuring the country's integrity and sovereignty through lack of guts in telling the American occupiers to leave, despite the fact that the Iraqi parliament has passed a unanimous resolution in this regard. Thanks, however, to the patriotic masses of Iraq who have fully supported the decisive strike on the Israeli regime base in Erbil and have also decisively castigated the murderous regime of Riyadh for its bouts of massacres of the innocents, as well as Yemen's invasion, Iraq will neither become an American client state nor will it be a playground for Zionist plots in the region. As a fraternal and friendly neighbor, Iran fully supports the will of the Iraqi people. And this was the reason the Iranian ambassador in Baghdad held a press conference in the holy city of Karbala to explain the Islamic Republic's readiness to provide assistance against foreign designs. Iraj Masjidi did not mince words when he highlighted that the missile attack was carried out in order to safeguard security and addressing Kurdish officials. He said, "We expect you to force Israelis out of Iraqi soil and get rid of them. If, however, they are not expelled, will we stand by with our hands tied behind us to allow them carry out operations against our security? Definitely not. The message from the Iraqi people is also loud, clear to the murderous regime in Riyadh. Your days are numbered. You will not be saved by the U.S., neither by the Zionists, nor by the hypocrisy of the so-called politicians who turn a blind eye to your terrorism and crimes against humanity.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant practice.
Imamat yek asl zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
آیه اینو میخواد بگه، فکر میکنم روشن شد. ما جعل الله لرجل فی قلبی من قلبین فی جوفه.
الله in the Holy Quran Surah Al-Ahzab Ayah 4 states, Allah has not put two hearts within any man. This part of ayah means that if your heart and soul has become the place of Allah, his prophet and his imam, then it cannot be the place of the enemy of Allah. Your heart is for Allah and his best men, namely Ma'sumin. So you must not prefer anything to Allah.
یه آقایی به نام هاشم ابن عتبه، الله اکبر، اگر خدا بخواد به یکی توفیق بده.
There was a person by the name of Hashim ibn Utbah. His father named Utbah is the very person who injured Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in the war with the polytheists. By the grace of Allah, Hashim became a Muslim and the follower of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was loved by Imam Ali alayhi salam to an extent that he was one of the candidates for the governorship of Egypt during the caliphate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Hashim had the love of Allah and Imam Ali alayhi salam in his heart, and he didn't prefer anything to them. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Iran allowed some 2,000 women into Tehran's Azadi Stadium to cheer their national football team as it beat Iraq 1-0. It was a game that secured Iran's entry into the 2022 Qatar World Cup. But it was women's entry to the stadium that made the headlines in January. The world seemed to think the earlier ban on women entering was to segregate men and women and that hijab meant no sports or public participation on the part of women. Well, here's what I found in an enormous Tehran park covering an area of 35 hectares. Nahjul Balagha Park is a small sample of Iran-Tehran's natural landscaping. Cut out in the hills, it has created a layered environment for mild climbing and privacy for groups wanting to exercise to their own choice music. Sports have hardly split and divided society, but rather have brought communities together by a common interest. Men and women of West Tehran have found a healthy haven here to keep fit in company. For more on women and men and sports and sporting, stay with me, Leila Faramarzi, on Iran Today. I got to talk to the two coaches and some of their trainees. Community sport, as it turns out, can be a formal open-air club with a professional coach. Let's begin with Mr. Adabi, who takes his work very seriously in keeping the city fit.
Before the Islamic Revolution, it was called the Swedish workout. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, it came to be known as the morning workout. It all started at Lale Park in Tehran. The coaches were trained and sent to parks across the city. They are still mainly based in Lale Park. Any park you visit, there are 5-6 coaches working out with tens of people. There are variable timetables for the workouts too. Any hour in the day, there might be a workout scheduled. I personally go to Sattarkhan Park, where people exercise from 6 to 7 a.m. There are some 300 people there every morning, most of whom are women.
Participants in the Park Club, so to speak, say what the sessions do for them and whether their modest Islamic clothing is a hindrance.
It's not a problem at all, because I'm properly dressed and have no problem in my opinion. These days, women exercising is something quite accepted. This exercise is well established across all parks. In the past, women would stay at home, only eating and sleeping, but it's no longer like that. Due to their occupation and to maintain their health, they are compelled to work out.
Public sports are taken seriously in Iran, although Coach Ardabi believes authorities should show their seriousness more generously. By 2018, 600,000 women were enjoying the recreational facilities of Tehran municipality. That's cultural, training and sports facilities provided in Tehran's 22 districts.
I'm an official. I'm the head of public sports in Tehran province and also work at a position at the Public Sports Federation. I promise that if they support us, we can bring everyone to the parks. Our coaches are able to take people to the parks. We can organize various events. We can organize competitions and give away prizes to winners of tug-of-war, darts, rope skipping, or running races.
The idea was and is to focus on physical and psychological health of women as the pivots of families. Fatemeh Rakei was the then head of Women's Affairs Department of Tehran Municipality. Ms. Ardalan was captain to the women's futsal team. She's now chief coach to the Futsal National Omid Team, or the Hope National Team, which won the Asian Futsal Championship title under her coaching. Unfortunately, we just got to talk to her via Skype.
In fact, by working out and competing, you'll taste victory and defeat, which can help you in your personal life. When a lady knows the taste of defeat, she'll also know that with enough effort, she can achieve better results and higher goals. Experience shows that if that's extended to her life, the results will be quite positive. Our daughters can grow to become healthy mothers in society and raise healthy kids. I think the only way to protect women's sports is that our authorities support sports and federations take proper steps in that regard.
She said Shahrbanu complexes were working as women-only centers to create a safe and secure environment to meet the essential cultural, social, entertainment, and sports needs of women. The women I spoke to were perfectly happy with their natural balagha haven. They tell of their dress code, or choice rather, as they don't sound a bit hampered.
It's not like that at all. You can wear comfortable and well-covering clothes here and exercise easily. I've been working out for 20 years. Thanks to my routine, I'm completely healthy. I'm quite satisfied with my workout and I'm always energetic and fresh. I'd been swimming for 20 years before the pandemic hit. But now, due to the COVID-19 outbreak, I'm swimming less frequently. But the park's always there and we're always at the park. Before they built this park, I used to come here to take a walk. Since they built this place, I've been working out and walking here.
Wearing a hijab isn't a limitation for us. We take part in international competitions, either in Asia or elsewhere. It does create its difficulties, though, in Eastern Asian countries. Because of the high level of humidity, the clothes can affect the athlete's performance. But I've always believed that the hijab hasn't caused any limitations for us. If anything, it's encouraged us to try even harder. It's as if all the other teams are one point ahead of us, especially in some sports. I was watching women's soccer yesterday and saw our team playing under heavy rain. They wear track pants, scarves, headbands, and other clothes that will get heavy and slow them down. But they try their hardest regardless.
It's some 5 years, musical aerobics for mixed groups have become a part of the natural scene. Our lady coach explained to me how the change came about because of hordes of women taking to community exercise in parks, and the system understanding it's a matter of, you could say, supply and demand. Our natural Balagha Park Club has more than one coach. To match the composition of trainees or members, there's a lady co-coach too to complement Mr. Adabi. Like their trainees, they were balls of positive energy.
It's not a limitation at all. We observe hijab, but it doesn't create any limitations whatsoever. I'm training people outdoors. I don't see a limitation. We even do rehabilitation exercises on yoga mats. We can definitely benefit from working out in a more closed up space. But if people want to exercise, they definitely can do it.
But women, especially those engaging in more traditional covering, enjoy taking their hijab off altogether under the sun. And so women's parks were an idea. It's momentary segregation by choice. By 2019, a fifth women's park had opened in Tehran, the capital city, named after Marzia Hadidchi. The idea was to bring about justice and equality for all citizens, as it would allow muhajaba women the freedom to wear less, like men, without the discomfort of feeling prying eyes on them. This would help eradicate vitamin D deficiency Muslim women suffer also, ironically so, in super sunny West Asia. The first women-only park opened up in the capital in 2008 by the name Beheshta Madaron, or Mother's Paradise. Muhajaba means a woman wearing hijab or Islamic covering as a religious obligation. Talking of hijab, here's a typically Iranian paradox. In some walks of life, hijab has actually promoted women's participation in sports. That's mostly among the more traditional families who wouldn't want their daughters jumping up and down in gym suits with male counterparts. Knowing there are women-only sports clubs and parks has allowed free access to their girls. Participation in professional international tournaments may be a problem for Iranian women having to wear hijab by mandate, but there's a whole range of sports they can participate in with flesh covered if international sports federations and bodies set aside their paranoid focus on dress. Banning muhajaba women from participating would appear to stem from their prejudice or fear against Islamic dress and teaching rather than a care for women's rights anyway. Ms. Izadi, paraglider, rock climber and martial artist, is a national champion who can also handle weapons and disarm an opponent.
When an athlete wants to compete and aims at winning the prize, the hijab won't be an issue for her. She won't even think of whether the hijab would be a hurdle. I personally haven't thought like this. Maybe in other sports, including those in which the organizing country might prevent you from participating because of your hijab, like in swimming or similar sports, the situation might be different, but we've been raised wearing hijab. The other point to mention is that there is an endless variety for wearing hijab at this point. We have so many different options to wear. We can choose perfectly comfortable sportswear.
Talking of professional sports, let's take a look at some female Iranian medalists or pioneers. Iran held India in AFC, the Asian Football Federation's Women's Asian Cup, January 2022. As reported, it was after Maryam Irandu's girls defeated Jordan 4-2 on penalties after a goalless draw that they booked their place in India, where Iran's goalkeeper Zohra Kudai was chosen the best player of the match.
Iranian's goal is to raise the Islamic Republic's flag. It doesn't matter if the athlete is male or female. The important thing is to compete and raise the flag and hear the national anthem playing in the end in the country. This is a proud moment we all would love to experience. All these issues led to our colleagues coming together and supporting women's sports and taking it more seriously. We're now seeing that women are increasingly securing titles in Asia, the Olympics, or other competitions around the world in group and individual sports. I hope this trend continues and the support goes on. I have every confidence that Iranian women can shine in every sport out there around the world.
Like I said, indoor sports have encouraged many muhajaba women or otherwise as they can practice hours in lighter clothes. The Guardian of July 3, 2021 ran a catchy headline, Shahrzad Mozaffar, Iran's female futsal trailblazer who defied the odds. The story of how a sport-crazy girl led her country to futsal glory and became a role model. The girl who had been looking for a ball her whole life, as she put it, led the nation's futsal team to a second Asian Football Confederation women's title in 2018.
Women are more willing to work out these days. There is a sort of competition between them. There are several reasons why they want to exercise. As the head of a sports complex, I've seen ladies coming here to lose weight so they could feel confident in their personal lives or at their workplace or anywhere else. It boosts their self-confidence. That's why they're a lot more willing to work out. It helps them with their self-confidence and mental health. This contributes to better public health. Women like to be champions and live in an environment where they can grow. When they see other women achieving their goals, they are motivated to attain their own goals too and regret what they haven't achieved. It'll serve society if we take the necessary steps to encourage women to become champions.
By 2005, for Mozaffar came the time to explore new avenues. Khadija Sepanji, head of women's football in the Iran Football Federation, suggested Mozaffar lead the new national football team at the West Asian Football Games. She took on the feat without a single football player at first. Finally, when it came to choosing between football and futsal, well, Iran was a pioneer in the latter in Asia, thanks to her kind. And that's what she went with, futsal, especially as Iran was lagging behind in football next to its Asian rivals.
Well, we've always faced shortcomings when it comes to sports. This has been the case for a long time. Due to the gender-based discrimination that has existed since the old days, we've always had a shortage of facilities and specialized people. Thankfully, it's much better compared to what it used to be. Thank God, as time passed by, the girls were able to show their real potential and break the glass ceiling, prompting people involved in sports to invest in them.
For a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
The effort and triumph was a collective effort, really, arising mostly simply from a love of sport on the part of women. Sport-crazy students of the all-girls Al-Zahra University in Tehran pushed their university administrators into licensing a groundbreaking unofficial futsal tournament. This attracted 9 other college teams. It was as early as 1993. 4 years later, as if by a cultural revolution of another kind, the physical education organization had formed a futsal committee.
Thankfully, over the past 2 to 3 years, things have grown a lot better for women, especially when it comes to public sports and those women like to compete in. It's become better both in terms of organization by the federations and providing financial support. It's become a lot better in the past 2 to 3 years, and I hope things will get even better in the coming years. I believe cyberspace has made an impact on women's willingness to exercise. It's like we've had a sudden surge in demand. When the demand increases, the gaps in our facilities are made known. This will promote the authorities to address the issues.
Let's also take a look at where an international interest in Iranian sports lies. As celebrities comment or even join the audience at tournaments, that's in the news section. Here's how it looks on the page. Tehran Times reads, WSF President Woolridge lauds Iranian women. Zina Woolridge, the president of the World Squash Federation, WSF, lauded the Iranian sportswomen. Squash has developed in Iran in recent years. The world is changing, and there's a lot we can do to influence that, and there are nations who are driving change in and through squash, where we may not have expected, Woolridge said. Nations such as Iran are doing some fabulous work to grow the sport amongst women and girls, she added. The World Squash Federation is very much influenced by the actions taken in Iran by the Squash Federation of the country, which has been able to develop squash, especially the expansion of relations outside Iran, and also empowerment of Iranian women and girls, Woolridge said. Now, volleyball has always been a favorite with girls' schools here, and Tasnim News tells of a visit to its federation by a personality about town. Australian ambassador pays visit to Iran Volleyball Federation. Australia's ambassador to Iran, Lyndall Sachs, accompanied by Dennis Khani, her deputy head of mission in Tehran, met with the Islamic Republic of Iran Volleyball Federation, IRIVF president Mohammad Reza Davarzani at the federation headquarters. Also in attendance were Shahram Azimi, head of international relations at the Ministry of Sports and Youth, and Vahid Moradi, a senior advisor to the IRIVF president. During Sachs' visit, Davarzani highlighted the growth and sustainable development of volleyball in Iran and explained the facilities of Iranian volleyball in the men and women sections and the international activities of Iranian volleyball in recent years. Sachs, along with the IRIVF officials, visited the Women's Volleyball Academy at the Azadi Sports Complex in Tehran and expressed her surprise and satisfaction with the extensive facilities provided by the federation in the field of women's volleyball. The Guardian talks of International Women's Day. Iran's Rakhshani nominated for 2022 International Women's Day Awards. Fatemeh Rakhshani of Iran was nominated for leadership category of the 2022 International Women's Day recognition. Rakhshani, current chairperson of the Asian Paralympic Committee's Women in Sport Committee, has a substantial influence on women in parasport in Iran. A two-term vice president of NPC Iran, she increased the number of females in the Iranian delegation at the Paralympic Games from less than 5% at the London 2012 to 17% at the Rio 2016. Through her athleticism as a para swimmer, Rakhshani also works to involve communities in physical activity. That'll be it for the news section, but do stay tuned. Ancient Iran had a tradition of women participating, even in combat and warfare. Also, today, minus the few on an international level, an innumerable number of sports are at the disposal of women. Amateur recreation ranges from water sports in our southern waters mostly to skiing and volleyball. Some get to turn their love into a profession depending on their ability and how feasible their choice sport is for overseas competition.
I believe that the Ministry of Sports allocates more budgets to well-established sports like Taekwondo and Karate, whose federations in Iran are some 50 years old. But the Sports Federation and the Martial Arts Association might not allocate enough funds to more than 50 different sub-styles. They might only focus on Muay Thai or kickboxing, or they would launch competition among all the sports and choose 4 to 5 people and bring them to the national team, which has been happening for only a couple of years.
In September 2021, Elnaz Rekabi made a name in the news as Iran's first woman to win a medal at the International Federation of Sport Climbing, IFSC, World Championships. Nicknamed Spider Woman, she won the bronze in Russia after Slovenia's silver medalist Mia Krumpel and Austria's Jessica Pils, who got the gold medal. Now, mentioning old Iran brings me to a form of recreation and sport you could call the bodybuilding of olden days, but it was so much more. It prepared men for battle. Known as Zurkhane, Pahlavani or heroic sports, it's a combination of bodybuilding and martial arts, a very Iranian understanding of the use of sports. Another world-class sport, traditional sport in Iran, is wrestling, also included in Zurkhane sports, if football mania allows it to survive. In Zurkhanes, or powerhouses, an interesting device is the mil, a conical wooden club. In spinning, while swinging round the mil, strongmen are practicing the battle move Death Cycle. How it works is when in war soldiers were outnumbered, they'd spin, weapon or weapons in hand, like a death machine, just chopping down any enemy soldier nearing them. Now, these manly Zurkhane sports have their fans among women, and I don't mean fans of the champions, no. Over recent years, a small but increasing number of women in this country have been claiming or reclaiming male-dominated sports. Rayehe Mozaffarian is an activist who is herself an athlete and practices Pahlavani and Zurkhane sport, the 2,000-year-old Iranian sport originally practiced by warriors, which is today practiced in remembrance of Ali, the first imam or leader of Shia Muslims. Commonly referred to simply as Zurkhane, it is a combination of mixed martial arts, wrestling, and calisthenics. Undeterred by the ban on women in this field, unlike universal martial arts such as taekwondo or karate, Mozaffarian and another woman, Esbati, continue to practice the sport at a local park. Perhaps practicing in the park will soon turn it into another community sport for women too. And why not? Because we've been Muslim for the past 1,400 years? Well, Islamic sports scientists emphasize that health and fitness are important for men and women alike and should be sustained by sporting activities. Their claim is supported by hadith or sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, who recommended his followers train their children in running, riding, swimming, and archery, not specifying gender. That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Perhaps we'll do a little something again on sport with the next women's tournament coming up. Otherwise, there'll still be much to say on our usual politics. So do join us again at the same times next week and each week after. Bye for now.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
To some people, it is just garbage. But to this Filipino woman, recyclable items have become a source of livelihood as she turns them into beautiful outfits. Leonora Biovaje is an experienced dressmaker who can weave and stitch nearly any type of material together to make fashionable frocks and gowns. She uses newspapers, plastic wrappers, and rice sacks as her clothing materials. She says rice sacks have the advantage of print and patterns, which both bring texture and color to her designs. This seamstress says she often uses packaging and bubble wraps from her children's delivery orders to make her gowns, among other materials.
It's good to use recycled materials because the cost is inexpensive. All you are really paying for is labor. It is durable, colorful, and we can help the environment at the same time.
She says her dresses sell for $30 to $50 and are used in weddings and other debut events. The recycled materials used for each dress would depend on her client's request. Her designs using recycled materials have also caught the attention of local fashion events. Leonora says she hopes to inspire others to create clothing out of ordinary recycled materials.
Iranians have welcomed the arrival of spring with an ancient fire festival known as Chorsham Besuri, or the Festival of Fire. The Sri festival is celebrated on the eve of the last Wednesday of the Iranian calendar. Yusuf Jalali reports from the city of Hamadan.
The last Wednesday of the Persian year is a time to sing and dance.
Chahar-shanbe Suri, or the Red Wednesday, is a fire festival Iranians have been celebrating for three millennia on the eve of the last Wednesday of the Iranian calendar year. During the occasion, families light a bonfire and jump over it while making wishes for a prosperous new year.
During Chahar-shanbe Suri, we Iranians go out on the streets and light a fire to sit around it. In our traditions, fire is a symbol of good health, cultivation, light and purity.
Chahar-shanbe Suri celebrates the arrival of spring and bids farewell to the cold season. I wish you all a better luck, health and wealth in the new year.
In a creative measure, UNESCO's Tehran office invited performers from different parts of Iran to the city of Hamadan to showcase their traditions in observing Chahar-shanbe Suri, each in their own unique style.
It's so good to see my fellow Iranian citizens with different languages, customs and lifestyles gather together on this amazing night to mark Chahar-shanbe Suri.
Iran is an ancient country with rich and diverse culture that stems from the diversity of ethnicities that live peacefully together. Tonight, this cultural diversity can easily be grasped when we see all these people celebrate Chahar-shanbe Suri.
Although Chahar-shanbe Suri has survived through the centuries, sometimes it is also associated with dangers, as the new generation uses fireworks and improvised explosives to mark the event, often causing injuries. Many Iranian celebrities this year urged people to refrain from using dangerous firecrackers and instead stick to the genuine and beautiful traditions of marking the ancient occasion. After three millennia, Chahar-shanbe Suri is still celebrated as part of rituals to usher in the Persian New Year. The age-old tradition is believed to shake off the darkness of winter and welcome the brightness of spring. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Hamadan.
Elephant Day in Thailand. The country celebrates a large animal as a source of national pride and cultural identity throughout its history. One celebration took place in Chonburi province on the eastern Gulf of Thailand coast. Dozens of elephants were hosted at a famous botanical park. The animals were treated to 2 tons of fruits and vegetables laid out on a table as wide as 8 meters. Elephants in the past were used for labor, transport, and in battlefields by warriors and kings, but nowadays they're no longer used for heavy duty jobs.
And time have changed. These elephants now, they are no longer used. We have better equipment to carry log and all that. So they become what we call homely elephant. These have been their life. We train them, they rest among us, we give them food. So now they have a homely life. Homely life, we have to support them. So now they go to the tourist attraction place, they're riding elephant, and all this is...
The feast takes place on March 13th every year and commonly in various parts of Thailand. But this year, celebrations were few because of the COVID pandemic and the economic woes that have come with it. Competition at stand-up paddleboard events is fierce, but competing on Europe's biggest underground lake adds another level of difficulty. One such race has been held in Switzerland as part of the 7-stage Alpine Lakes Tour. Some 60 paddlers have competed on the 300-meter-long underground lake on an illuminated course. Organizers named it the Bat Race because it was staged in a cave.
It's a great day because we are on an underground lake, and this only takes place here. There's nothing like this elsewhere, and really the atmosphere is great because we are in the dark. We paddle without knowing where we are going. It's a really fun atmosphere.
Other athletes were excited about the setting, describing it as wonderful and magnificent. They said it was magical to see the trout deep underwater inside the cave. Others said they sometimes struggled to breathe, but all the participants agreed that it was absolutely fun.
Local fishermen have rescued an injured baby manatee on a bay in far southeastern Cuba. The fishermen are nursing the injured baby manatee with cow and goat milk mixed with coconut water. They discovered the injured manatee with gashes on his head and body in Maria del Portillo Bay near Havana. Upon arrival on shore, the fishermen recruited volunteers for a nearby farming village.
We were fishing along the shore when we saw the manatee coming. When it approached us, we realized it was injured. It had several wounds on its body, one on the head and two on the rest of the body. Between the two of us, we made the decision to take her to the port of Maria del Portillo, where the boats were moored. When we got there, the whole town was very surprised. Some people ran to help us, others ran to get milk. Seeing that it was small and knowing that it's a mammal, we decided to give it some milk. The people who have cows gave us cow's milk. Those who have goats gave us goat's milk.
Manatees are aquatic mammals akin to giant water-borne cow. The mammal is found in sheltered bays and estuaries throughout Cuba. Scientists say coastal communities could play a key role in protecting marine species and their habitats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Races, beauty contests, and a marvelous show. Here is everything you need to know about the first Qatar Camel Festival. Qatar kicked off its very first edition of the Camel Festival earlier this month at Lepsayer, Doha. The festival features unique and high-value breeds for the public to enjoy. Camels from all around the region will also get to flaunt their posture to earn the title of the most beautiful camel or the highest value breed in the festival. But first, the whole lot should be judged.
Judging is based on the size of the camel's head, the length of the neck and the beautiful appearance of the animal and its health status. Of course, judging is different for each group of camels. For example, in the case of camels that are black, the focus is on the size of the animal's head. But on camels that are white, the focus is on the beauty of the camel and the harmony of the body and the beauty of the animal. In addition, we have very experienced professional staff who will deal with the animal if it is artificially beautified.
To spike excitement and competitiveness in those who enjoy such shows, the country has allocated a whopping 47 million Qatari riyals for the lucky winners. The 45-day event will last until March 22nd and will include various competitions, including 115 local and international races.
In the streets of the Chadian capital city, an actor is bringing culture to impoverished neighborhoods by organizing readings of poetry and plays.
Culture should be accessible to all. If we want to have a wonderful world, a harmonious world, everyone should be focused on the same dimensions to be able to dream together. And without culture, we won't be able to initiate development. And to initiate this stage of development, we need to invite people to think together.
The actor does not have a fixed place to tell his stories. He performs in public spaces and says it is his way of giving everyone the opportunity to discover and explore creativity. Among the activities Bonaventure organizes, one can name drawing with children and conducting acting classes. He believes music and theater bring other disciplines together, creating an avenue for enriching human connections. Residents, especially the children of the impoverished neighborhood, say they always look forward to Bonaventure's arrival. A first of its kind selfie museum in the Central American country of Guatemala is gaining lots of attention from excited enthusiasts. The selfie museum is located in Antigua, Guatemala, and is made up of 40 rooms or scenarios. Each room is a recreation of a colorful theme. Wallpaper, wings, greenery, neon signs, and other props are all present to spark the interest of visitors. One room includes a levitating bed, and another is equipped with a spaceship. Other rooms have familiar scenarios of presidential offices and comic book characters for visitors to take photographs in. Several artists participated in creating the art illustrations. A zoo in Peru's capital city, Lima, is celebrating a rare hatching of endangered baby crocodiles. The Huachipa Zoo showcased three females and one male to the public on the World Wildlife Day. The four crocodiles were born in incubators as part of the conservation efforts for the reptile. This species is an American crocodile, which is on the endangered list of animals in Peru. Zookeepers say the black market and threats on their habitat have seen the crocodile population dwindle. The zoo regularly receives animals that were rescued from trafficking. Among those traits are tortoises, macaws, and monkeys.
The 2022 World Cup is reaching a fever pitch as hundreds of people line up at a shopping center in Qatar to take a picture with a trophy. The famous Golden World Cup trophy was unveiled during a ceremony at a mall in Doha, where excited football fans waited for their turn to see it. They were also given the option to take a selfie or have their photo taken professionally. While the competition is still nearly a year away, FIFA says more than a million tickets were requested within the first 24 hours after sales opened. The highest demand came from fans from Qatar, followed by Argentina, Mexico, and the United States, among others. Bangladesh is reviving the ancient tradition of producing a historically renowned fine hand-woven fabric called muslin. With the help of the government, the trade is making a comeback. Now, a workshop has been set up in Dhaka where weavers are being trained in the ancient art. They say it took them months to master the craft, working with incredibly fine hand-spun cotton yarns. The weavers say it takes them 8 hours to spin just 4 centimeters. Some varieties of the fabric are so fine that an entire muslin sari could fit inside a single matchbox.
There was a myth about muslin that it was so delicate that it would pass through even a small ring. Look, it's true. There is space to squeeze in another piece of cloth through this ring as well.
Breathing life back into this ancient trade was not easy. Officials with a revival project say there was little knowledge about how this fabric was made. Plus, the rare cotton variant, which makes this fabric so expensive, was also lost. The precious fabric was the most extravagant of its era and popular in Mughal courts. It was also imported into Europe for much of the 17th century and transformed the style of the aristocracy there.
IRIB English Radio.